Running your own business can feel isolating, but you don't have to figure it all out alone. Join a free guest session inside the Smashing the Plateau community to get fresh ideas and real solutions to your biggest business challenge. Spots are limited. Reserve yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.
I am performing in my truest way, doing the work that I absolutely love to do. And again, I could do it day in and day out, 24/7.
Today, we have a very special returning guest, Deb Coviello, known as the Drop-In CEO. If you've ever felt like your business is caught in the middle of chaos, uncertainty, or a critical turning point, this episode is for you. Deb shares how she found her sweet spot as an entrepreneur, why developing the people inside an organization matters just as much as solving the technical problems, and how she's learned to make better decisions by flipping her priorities upside down. She also opens up about the difference between corporate decision-making and running your own business, and what it really takes to build relationships that turn into opportunities, sometimes years down the road. Whether you're deep in your entrepreneurial journey or just starting to think about making the leap, Deb's insights will give you something to think about, reflect on, and act on. Now let's dive in, and let's welcome Deb Coviello. Deb is known as the Drop-In CEO. Her superpower is lowering the temperature and elevating conversations with empathy and patience. As a speaker, author, podcaster, and consultant, Deb teaches C-suite leaders how to establish a lift, light, lead environment and create calm amidst chaos or crisis. She is the author of The CEO's Compass, Your Guide to Get Back on Track, and the new CEO playbook, Stop Chasing Results and Start Pursuing Peace of Mind. Her long-running podcast, The Drop-In CEO, is in the top 1.5% globally among Apple Podcasts. Deb, welcome back to the show. Great to have you on again.
Oh, David, it is such a pleasure. I appreciate our friendship and having me back on the show and hoping to provide some great value. And again, just eager to start the conversation and catch up as well.
Me too. You always provide great value when you're here. So I'm glad to have you on again.
Thank you.
So just to, you know, catch up and inform listeners who may not have listened to you on previous episodes, you've now been in your own business for a while.
Yeah, 7 years, 7 years of ups and downs, but it's been a great ride and hope to be in business for several more.
Yeah, well, listen, at 7 years, you've definitely beat the odds. Like, I forget what the percentage is of businesses that don't make it through the first year or make it through the first five. So you've beat both of those, as have I. So congratulations. What would you like to share about how your business has evolved?
Yeah, well, I appreciate the opportunity. And again, yes, the word is we have survived. It has been a roller coaster, but I wouldn't change anything. Maybe a few decisions along the way. But, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, I am performing in my truest way, doing the work that I absolutely love to do. And again, I could do it day in and day out, 24/7. But, you know, with respect to the Drop-In CEO brand, it's really who I am. I deal with the messy middle of an organization in my consulting expertise. Leveraging my background in manufacturing, I will often drop into organizations who are going through some kind of transformation, and more often than not, chaos or crisis, like they need to get a particular certification. Otherwise, they can't get any more business. And talk about a business owner, that is mission critical. Or somebody that just needs me to drop in during a critical time when they don't have a leader and they need me to plug and play into an organization. It gets me in there not only to do the work at hand, which most organizations just want you to do. But here's the catch. Here's what I get to do is I get to know the people on a deeper level because I have a seat at the table helping them through the transformation. And I will coach up to the CEO or founder of the company. It is a lonely place. And by the way, we can do great work, but unless you upskill and coach the people on how they perform and behave and their confidence in an organization, we're never going to be able to sustain those improvements that we've made. So you can call me a consultant or a business advisor. I prefer the drop-in CEO, but sometimes we come in as consultants with our cookie cutter approach and don't spend time developing the human. That's what differentiates me and my brand and what I do. Now, other things that I do, I love the one-to-many opportunity. While I love working in businesses, I have since evolved my speaking portfolio to be able to share with others. I can be a professional moderator for your next event. I would love to speak and just impart some kind of insights, usually in the area of confidence, leadership development. There's many, many topics. I've been starting to expand that because, again, that feeds my soul. It may not be a major revenue stream, but that's what we do as creatives, business owners. We've got the tactical work, but that creative part of what I'm doing, I am trying to expand the speaking portfolio, the podcast at guesting, because I do love to be on these shows. But the other thing is I'm keeping it real. I have put in a lot of time and effort. I have evolved my business development cycle and how I do that. But also sometimes as a business owner, you can't forget what really matters. There, you are needed for your family. You are needed for friends. You are needed for community. And so I have prioritized a lot of that. And so I may not be working 24/7 like we spoke. I may not be working on the weekends as much. But what that forces you to do is make much better decisions. And I know we'll probably talk about that when it comes to our time, which is our most important asset. Of where do we spend our time for maximum value for others, but also for yourself. So,
yeah. That those are seeds for a lot of things we could talk about in this short episode. But let me start with just an observation, because we've known each other for a while, and I've watched how you have developed your niche and your brand. I love the drop-in CEO concept, but what I have heard you say today, combined with what I know about you and your brand, is that you have done a great job of being really clear on what it is you love to do, what it is you're most competent at doing, who you love to serve, what you're really good at delivering for them, and finding that, like if you were to draw a Venn diagram with these circles, you've been really great at finding the intersection of all of those, like to develop your sweet spot.
Yeah. And I appreciate you recognizing that you're a deep listener, just like I am. That goes to that thing we talked about in the bio, the lift, the light, the lead. One of my superpowers as part of the brand is not just to go in and fix stuff, but the ability to see that owner, see that founder, see that team, and what are their gifts? Because I can come in with my playbook and say, this is how we're going to get you to X, Y, and Z and sales or bottom line, whatever. But what I do is I focus on the people first. And so when I can really see the people for their confidence or lack of confidence or lack of capability or capacity to do the work, I use that as a leading indicator. Oh, I thought we were going to do this, but I think I need to spend a little bit of time just understanding their gifts. Why are maybe they holding back? There's a lot of psychological awareness you need to do with people. And part of that is also just spending time and gaining trust. Because people can say, okay, check the box. We solved this problem, that problem. You've done nothing to transform the organization. As a brand, it's not just about doing the work. And I talk about lift, trying to lift the people up, helping them to lead differently by shining a light on their unique skills. But ultimately, it is for not only the owner and also myself. What legacy do we want to leave? Because I'm sure there's people out there that have said that somebody came back to them 1, 5, 10 years later and told you about a particular point in time where you said or you did something or you recognized their value and it changed the trajectory. That is my niche because I'm really at a deeper level here to serve and lift others. And by the way, along the way, I may get compensated for it, but that's the true joy is that connection with humanity, but also tied into doing a business around that as well.
Deb, I hope you get compensated for it.
I do. But again, you know, it's one of those things, it's a value trade-off. You know, I had wrote this article about people that are kind of in transition in their career or wanting to jump into being their own business owner. And the three words or qualifiers are, do you want the opportunity, are you passionate about it? And I always say, if you have all three, which I do now in my consulting business, I'm happy as a peach or whatever the expression is. If you only have two out of the three, like, well, I need the job and I need the money and I want the title, but God, the people, are not the greatest. You can hang on for a couple years, but you're going to be looking, you're not going to feel fulfilled. And then time passes and who knows what happens to you. And if you only have one, I just got it because I need the money. It's a good gig, but God, I don't care about the commute. I don't really care about the work that I'm doing. You're going to be miserable after 6 months. And so that's kind of the soul searching as well, is that I am lucky enough to have my own business where I can fuel my soul and fulfill all three of those. There's other things in my life that don't fulfill all three. And I'm working through that again as a business owner. But those are the things that we should be thinking about when, how we spend our time. Do we need it? Do we want it? Do we love it?
The Gallup polls year after year show that the vast majority of workers in America are not satisfied with their jobs.
Yeah. And interestingly enough, and I have had coaches and had people in my circle or community that helped me to realize one of the reasons why we may not be satisfied is we're looking for that external validation or gratification. And again, that's how we're raised. We get A's on tests. We get, take tests to get into university, and we're judged by what other people think of us. That's society. But have we ever taken the time to say, well, what fuels my soul? What gives me my joy? And if you haven't found that within a job, and I'm not saying you should jump off a cliff and jump out of corporate, but don't depend on others to give you that validation, but maybe you've just got a trusted colleague, a trusted network of people within a job that just cares about you and just listens to you. And again, that community, which we talk about, maybe that's all the satisfaction you need. And you can endure the corporate culture, but don't look for others to validate you and get that pleasure that you're seeking.
Yeah. So again, congratulations for figuring out your sweet spot and what makes you tick and what makes you happy. What feeds your soul? Let's talk about what you mentioned earlier about how you spend your time. You're totally right. Nobody wants to spend 100% of their time just doing work, right? Mm-hmm. That's going to pay the bills.
Right.
How do you figure out how to make better decisions so that the use of your time works as much as possible for what you need and want?
Yeah. So thank you for that. It's been a journey. So again, if you haven't figured it out yet, and my solution may not be your solution, but it is about having core values. Like, I place my health first and foremost, or I make sure that I spend X amount of time with my significant other or family or community. When we start with, okay, well, what time can I get up in the morning? Maybe I can get up a little bit earlier and get through a few more emails, and I can take a few more late conference calls because I can check more things off. Your pyramid or priorities are flipped, and you can burn yourself out because corporate or your business can, on a negative side, suck the life out of you. On the other hand, it can consume a lot of time and you may not see the ROI. Through a lot of soul searching, I flip the pyramid and I'm very focused on my health, my well-being, what I eat. And I may not be the picture of health in a size 6 or what have you, but every time I go to the doctor and everything, they say, you're good. You don't need any medicine. Deb, you don't look your age. you have 3 adult children. All of that is validating that, okay, I've prioritized my health, my well-being. And if I can't fit the other things in, then it forces me to decide what is most critical. And so if I only spend 2 hours on client X and 3 hours on client Y, because later in the week I'm going to have that meeting, that's the most critical. Now, do I feel bad that I didn't respond to Dave about rescheduling a podcast interview in time? Yes, of course I care about you and getting back to everybody. But I've made the decision that maybe I don't need to be as responsive. I don't need to respond to every email, because at the end of the day, the ROI is not there. But spending time with family, time for myself, and then the critical few tasks that will serve the people that I serve, that has helped me be a little bit more sane and comfortable with my decisions.
So Deb, in addition to the 7 years that you've been in your own business, you spent a long time in corporate. What do you find are some of the differences in the way you make decisions between your corporate life and what you do as an entrepreneur?
Oh my goodness. I could giggle my way through the rest of this podcast, but it's one of those things that in corporate, you may know what is needed. You know your job, you know what's expected of you for others. But I find while necessary. Again, larger organizations are risk-based. You need to keep stakeholders informed. Decisions are more critical, so you need to weigh in with other people because a wrong decision in a large enterprise can be devastating for the bottom line or top line growth. So there's a lot more check the boxes in. Did I align with what I'm doing with the overall strategy? Did I make the right short-term financial decision versus long-term gains? Maybe my stakeholders need to see an ROI this quarter, but I need to somehow be grounded in those things that are going to have that long-term sustainable goal. So there's a lot of energy that is exerted in checking the box across multiple lines of communication, stakeholders, report writing, et cetera, all that stuff that becomes necessary to deal with the complexity of decision-making in a large organization. And it's necessary, and I know how to do it. But I tell you, it's exhausting. When you're your own founder.
It sounds exhausting.
It is. It is. It is. So
just from your description. Sorry to interrupt.
Okay. But again, you hear my passion. I loved the opportunity to learn so much and develop myself as a person and my technical crafts in quality and operational excellence, being a deep listener and problem solver that translates into looking at other people and saying, you know what? I think you might want to focus over here based on what I'm seeing. Again, data-driven decision-making, but also looking at the human and factoring that in. Now, when it comes to being my own decision-maker and a business owner, you have to, the buck stops with you. You have to set your core values. What is your vision? What is your purpose? Who do you serve? What is the niche? I support small and medium-sized business owners, founders, presidents, second-generation owners, especially in the manufacturing space, which is my sweet spot, that are at a level of maturity and that recognize they may need an external set of eyes to help them through some kind of crisis, chaos, or transformation. That became very clear for me because every time I entered that space, I was applauded. They appreciated my big corporate experience and where I could take them and show them where they were going to. Now, I do have a circle of people that support me with social media, my branding, and other areas. I also keep them informed of where's Deb at, what's changing, and they are truly partners along the way, giving me their advice, unpaid or paid, to help guide me. But at the end of the day, I get to make the decisions, good, bad, or indifferent, but I've learned so much about making some bad decisions, but I'm so much better for it. So that's a little bit of the compare and contrast between the corporate. I'm still a decision maker, but it's the energy is so much more positive when it's my own baby.
Right. But you, one of the things I'm noting that you did mention is that you do look for structure that will give you the feedback loops that you need to make better decisions.
Yeah, my poor husband. Who I have a whiteboard over here. Then they have me at the top and I've got people that have helped me with, you know, website and branding and stuff like there. But in there, Dan is over there. My husband, Dan, is on the board as an advisor, and he may not advise me. Sometimes I just need him to listen. Sometimes he might say something that it might not make sense. And then sometimes I say, you know, stop being so stubborn, Deb. What he says has a lot of meaning. But then also people that have helped me with my brand and my sales, they see something in me. They think, Deb, my God, you got a great brand. Dave, you think I've got a great brand. That's just validation. Okay, I'm on the right track. I just have to navigate and figure out how to course correct or reach the people that I can serve. So yeah, I have had to rely on a lot of people and coaches. I've had several coaches help me mindset, helping me tactically with business development, lead generation, and really elevating my brand, telling stories about my origin story that maybe I wouldn't, but then that makes me so much relatable. So I'll tell you, there is a community of people behind the Drop-In CEO brand.
Yeah, not surprising. Deb, are there differences in who you might reach out to or how you might reach out to someone outside the organization as a corporate employee versus who you might reach out to outside your business as a business owner to be your thinking partner or provide some kind of collective intelligence that you can use to make decisions?
Well, that's actually still a journey for me, but I will just be completely transparent. When I was in a corporate environment, I just didn't know enough to establish a board of advisors, trusted partners, external professional networks. I mean, I dabbled in it. It was only late in my corporate career that I reached out to an HR business partner who was somewhat outside of all those close stakeholders to just say, you know, like, what do I need to do differently to get ahead? And she talked to me about presence. And I didn't even know what presence was all about. And we talked about that. So I started realizing the value late in my corporate life. But once I was on the outside, I looked right and I looked left and I said, there's nobody to talk to. It's just me. And, you know, Dave, you and I have enjoyed a couple opportunities to participate in your community. I thoroughly have enjoyed it. But I also realize the value of building that community. So there are people, or can we just talk? Or, you know, even if they're not a referral partner, or even if they're not a prospect, there are people in my network that once a quarter, just check in. How you doing? What's different? Maybe we can't help each other, but just having somebody to listen to or talk to, you never know, because you know, those are missed opportunities. Sometimes when listening to their experiences, it sparks something and say, you know what? I've been meaning to do that. Or wow, I never, can you give me a link to that software? That would really help me. I have found great value being open to just making human connection with other people, because you never know, you probably will be better because of that brief interaction. So as a business owner, it has become very, very important to really establish a close group of partners that I can talk to.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Lastly, I wanted to ask you, if you were advising someone who was a little behind you in your journey, trying to accomplish many of the same kinds of things that you have accomplished, you know, we all learn, as you mentioned earlier on, there are a lot of ups and downs in life, in business, whether it's as an employee or as an entrepreneur. If you were advising someone who is behind you in your journey, what would you tell them?
Yeah, that's a great question. And in fact, I have had a few people knock on my door and say, Deb, how did you do it? How did you reinvent yourself? And I've taken the time, you know, pro bono, just I want to help others go through that journey. One of the things was to find out what you're really special at. What distinguishes you? What differentiates you? What have customers or colleagues said about you that you say, oh, shucks, I was just doing my job? Because as you reach out and scream from the highest mountain, I am here. The shingle is hung. I am out. I'm open for business. It's a vast sea of competition. And I decided not to compete in that, but to differentiate myself. Of course, you need to understand, what do you do, the problem you solve, and who do you serve? That's just the foundation. But what really makes you special and stand out? And people are interested in having you on a podcast or interview you or go to a speaking event. You need to become interesting far more than here's what I do. It's boring, because that's what everybody else is doing. So that's the first thing, is what makes you special. And you need to spend a lot of time there, because that's how you're going to get ahead. And the other thing that I learned is, don't just expect referrals to come to you. I mean, yes, you'd have to network with your close connections, but don't be afraid for cold outreach. And also be patient. Because anybody that you have a great conversation with that's not a prospect yet, nurture, 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 nurture. Because I'll tell you, some of those first clients that I got were ones from relationships 5 and 10 years ago. So yeah, I'm on year 7 here. I've been establishing relationships, but you know what? Some now, 3, 4 years ago, are now starting to come around. So as somebody said to me, please be a patient hunter. You are about establishing relationships first, and the goodwill and the opportunity to serve will come a little bit later.
Yeah, I remember many years ago when I first started doing business network, somebody using the phrase, this is all about farming. It's not about hunting.
Go on. Explain that, please.
Well, in farming, when you're a hunter, if you're successful,
yeah,
and you're able to capture food, right, which is going to be an animal, you're able to capture the animal, your family is going to eat that day.
Yes.
Whereas as a farmer, you're planting seeds that are going to mature and become food. Often it's months later. And in some cases, you plant perennial crops. It could be producing food every single year for a long time, but you're not going to be eating that day from those seeds.
So true. And I often, you remind me, I do use the expression, I have planting hundreds and hundreds of seeds, but I've already gotten validation that even if there's no business transaction, people have said, you made me see things that I never saw before. And again, the true value of what we do is not necessarily in trading money, but the legacy we leave. And so that's why I'm in it. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Deb, I want to thank you so much for coming back on the show. If somebody wants to go deeper with what you've shared today, learn about you, access your resources, or get in touch with you, where's the best place to go?
Yeah, please reach out to me on LinkedIn, Deborah A. Coviello, or the Drop-In CEO. Direct message me. I'd love to talk to you, but you can also get a little bit more information about who I am and what I do. And you can contact me at my website, dropinceo.com, and would love to connect with you. And again, just have a conversation. It's about connecting with humanity. We may both be better because we spend time together. Thank you, Dave.
Again, Deb, thank you so much for taking the time to join us again on Smashing the Plateau and give us an update, share some great insights. My guest today has been the Drop-In CEO, Deb Coviello. Thank you, Deb, for joining us.
Thank you.
Running your own business can feel isolating. That's why we created Smash Through Your Business Roadblocks, a live interactive session where experienced professionals bring real challenges and work through them together using the SMASH framework. It's your chance to experience the Smashing the Plateau community, a space where corporate refugees support one another to keep moving forward. You'll leave with fresh momentum, clarity, and maybe even a few new allies in your corner. Guest spots are limited, so grab yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.